Ephesians chapter 1. Wow. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning at verse number 1. And continuing to verse 14. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning at verse 1, going to verse 14. As soon as you have it, please stand. Well, the title's not up there, but the title is, I'm sorry, y'all. I like it when things don't go smooth. I'm crazy, I know, Pastor. Yeah! Let it rip. What we call it? Yeah, there we go. The short title for what we're going to talk about today is The Surety of Christ. The Surety of Christ. I'm reading. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from our God, from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has bless us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love he predestined us for adoption through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, for the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, Amen. Having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory.
Amen.
Glory.
Amen.
Glory.
Amen.
Glory. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah.
Woo.
Well, if I didn't need to comment, I think I could really kind of sit down because that's really kind of self-explanatory. But Paul is writing to the Ephesian church, and they in kind of a critical spot like the Colossian church was. It was a nice metropolis, and they had a natural seaport, and that it was easily accessible by land. Now, anytime you have a metropolis like that, you have all kind of things flowing in and flowing out of it. So they had an issue with the worship of Diana in the city. And Paul is writing to them to encourage them, to remind them of what you know. So that's my business today at Trinity, to remind you of what you already know. Because we have a tendency sometimes as humans to kind of forget what's going on because we have a short-term memory issue. the text opens up. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. Now, that in itself is kind of an interesting thing. Because, number one, if I know his history, Saul's history at first, he was a persecutor of the church. And let me tell you something. Who could imagine that God had called him to be an apostle to the Gentiles? Who could imagine that? Nobody. Because he was in the business of persecuting the church. He had letters in his hand on the way to get somebody in jail. And on the Damascus Road, God's predestined work begins to work. Did you hear me? So we better be careful about who we don't think belong in the kingdom of God. We don't know who God is calling because we have a vision problem. If you're not really in my section, I don't think you really belong in the kingdom of God. And that's interesting. Now, Paul himself, God arrests him on the Damascus Road. And then he tells the Ephesian church, now, in principle, the same way I was arrested on the road, God got you too. Trinity, the same way that the guy with the saggy pants was saved, I got you too. The same way this drunkard was saved, I got you too. What we tend to do now, we tend to forget, Pastor, where we come from. And we think that since we have arrived, we are all right. That's not true. We still sinning and we still asking God for forgiveness and he's still forgiving. But we won't levy that forgiveness to nobody else. I'm actually trying to slow down, y'all, because you know I'm a speed guy. The next verse tells us about grace and peace. The only way you have grace and peace is that there is a cessation, there is a stopping of warfare between you and God. That's the only way you have grace and peace. And listen, we talked yesterday about whose father is really yours. Because if God is really your father, you would hear Jesus when he talked to you. Paul had a different father, but God fixed that on the Damascus Road. Just like Billy had a different father, but he fixed me when he caught me. Somebody tell me about Jesus. You better take that down the road because I'm still having fun over here. There are only two fathers. Either it's Satan or either it's God. One of the two. If you are born after Adam, this is what happens. Satan is your father. But if God saved you, then God becomes your father. And your nature has changed because he has what? Saved you. Let's go to John chapter 8. Beginning at verse 39. Go on to verse 44. John chapter 8. Beginning at verse 39. Going to verse 44. Now, all of this has happened because of Christ for real. That's the surety in this whole thing. That Christ, if you're found in Christ, he got you straight. Let me John chapter 8. Get it at verse 39. Have somebody read that for me. Nice and loud, brother.
Abraham is our father. Huh. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works of Abraham did.
Mm-hmm.
But now you seek to kill me.
Wait. Jesus is telling them the truth, but they don't want to hear the truth. Because they got the wrong father. Go ahead, brother.
But now you seek to kill me. A man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. This is not what Abraham did. You are doing the works your father did. They said to him, we were not born of sexual immorality. We have one father, even God. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I came from God. And I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word.
Yeah, hold on.
You are of your father, the devil.
Oh, Lordy, Lordy, Lordy.
And your will is not to do your father's desire. Is to do your father's
desire.
He was a murderer from the beginning and has nothing to do with the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God.
I'm here to encourage you today. I'll be through in a few minutes, so just bear with me. Encourage you today to tell you who your father is, which I'm sure you already knew that. God the Father is your father. And that in itself is a miracle. Because if we were born after Adam, we didn't care nothing about spiritual things. God the Father had to actually, through Christ, by the Spirit of God, reach in and get our minds straight so that we can hear the word and be saved. Now, if God is your Father, then your the way you talk is different. The way you walk is different. The way I deal with people I don't deem are worthy to my standards is different. The way I treat my job is different. I had to ask myself, Pastor, I was working this week on a job. I say, now, if Jesus was on the job and he was my supervisor today, how would I be working? Would I be doing everything the way I'm supposed to be doing it? Since he is my elder brother, I say it like that. I'm just here to remind you. Do the works of your father. We also see in verses 3 to 6, the Father is to be blessed for giving us everything we need to live. And his choice of us before the world was, and our position before him is holy and blameless, and adoption as sons in Christ. Our Father has given us everything we need to live. Everything we need to live. Go to 2 Peter, the first chapter, and verse 3. 2 Peter, the first chapter, verse number 3. Do you know what? We always praying for, Lord, give me more patience. I need peace. I need some joy. Well, can I say to you, has God already given you that? If he's already given you that, what you praying for more of it for? Pardon the English there. I think sometimes we live the way we live because we're operating on a flawed assumption that I don't have everything I need to live with. 1 Peter chapter 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3. Somebody read that for me. Also go to Galatians chapter 5, beginning at verse 22. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Galatians 5, 22 and 20. So the produce of the Spirit of God being in your life is actually in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But it's a little bit more than that. But stop praying for stuff that you already got. And start living like you really got it.
Amen.
Well, I'm not really talking to y'all. I'm talking to me. Interesting thing, he has predestined us for adoptions as sons. In most adoptions, the person being adopted don't really have a lot to do with it. It is a person who's doing the adopting that really makes the decision. And I think it's amazing when I look at Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8, that he adopted me into his family. Because I was so messed up, but he still adopted me into his family. And listen, I didn't have nothing to do with it. He had everything to do with it. So listen, now if that's the case, when I see myself being messed up, I don't need to be messed up because I'm messed up. Interesting. Did you hear me? I don't need to be worried about whether he's going to kick me to the curb, sister, because he found me and he saved me. So if you all have a problem and you done just messed up, don't worry about it because God called you up. Ephesians 1:7, there had to be a death in order for all this to be able to come to pass. Somebody, the blood had to be shed in order for all this goodness to come to pass. Whose blood was that? I'm just reminding you. It was the blood of Jesus Christ. He sacrificed it for us. And if he sacrificed it for us, the surety of that sacrifice has now released all of that stuff into our lives. Y'all with me? I didn't lose nobody, did I? Okay. And it's interesting. Not only has the blood released all that stuff in our life, but it's actually released us from a debt that we owed. That debt was because of what Adam did in the garden, and it actually plunged everybody else into sin. And that sacrifice actually released us from that debt. Not only has it released us from that debt, but it has released us from the weight of that debt. It is an interesting illustration. The slave market of sin. Anybody ever heard of that? Slave market? If I was a black Negro person and I actually was sold into slavery and I was on the slave block, I could not get myself off of that block myself. I was at the mercy of those who were bidding for me for whatever cause they wanted me for. But I think it's glorious that God has actually saved me. He bought with his blood me off of the slave block of sin. He bought me himself by his sacrifice himself. What a God. Listen, no high priest has ever spilled his own blood. He had to make his little sacrifice himself before he went into the Holy of Holies himself. But nobody has spilled his own blood to save. Well, listen, the Pharisees, if you wasn't right, I ain't dying for you. You ain't good enough. But that wasn't the case with Jesus Christ. As messed up as we are, he still died for us. And God has a way of releasing valuable information to people that we don't deem to be worthy of that information. Jesus was being born. He reveals that message to some shepherds in the field, keeping sheep. Now, the mystery of it all was that God called the Jews out to be an elect people, but they were supposed to kind of show his love to everybody else. But instead of showing his love to everybody else, this is what they're doing. This is my section over here. You are Samaritans. You are Gentiles and stuff. You're not worthy of all of that. But God's master plan was that he would join Jew and Gentile into one body in Christ. That's the mystery. There was a problem before that. You're not worthy to be a Jew. You're not circumcised. You don't tithe. You don't do nothing that you're supposed to do. But God in Christ has joined them together. Go to Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 through 11. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 through 11. Philippians 2, verse 9 through 11. Somebody read that for me. Now, it seemed to be such a lowly thing to do, but if you do what God tells you to do, he got a plan for you. He exalted Jesus highly above everything. And because of he was who he was, and joining everybody together, he gave them a name that's above every name. And at that name, everything here and here shall bow their knee. What's your inheritance? What is your inheritance? Everything that's in Christ is my inheritance. Everything. I used to always wish, man, I wish I had some rich relatives so I wouldn't have to work and all that stuff. Man, I can inherit all that stuff. Don't laugh, Audrey. But it's that wasn't really worth wanting. What I should have wanted was in Christ. Once I have what's in Christ, I can live right. I can talk right. I can even hear the word when it's preached, Pastor. When God says something, it's good as done. When Jesus died, they put him in a tomb and they sealed it with a Roman signet. And they put some guards at the entrance. And that's to say nobody could get in here unless you're greater than the ones who put the seal on here. God has sealed you with all that he has just said. And it's a surety that you're going to get it. If you don't get it, that means somebody greater than him has stolen it from you. And it's not possible. You have no reason not to live right because of what? What Christ did. Second Corinthians 5:17 through 21, and I'm through. Second Corinthians 5:17 through 21. If all that I have said today is true, if everything is true, 2 Corinthians 5:17 to 21 should give me some insight. Sister McCullough, I'm sorry.
Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. The old has passed away.
Hold on. How can he be a new creature? Because of the surety of Christ's sacrifice. Go ahead.
The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come.
And hold on. The only way the old can pass away if somebody stronger than the one who had you in bondage has come and got you out. Yeah. 17 through 21.
All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation.
Hold on. Since God has reconciled us, it's time for us to reconcile somebody else.
That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, now counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God.
It's clear. Simple. If God has saved you, he saved you for a purpose. And that purpose is to go tell somebody that the same way he saved you, he can save them. Not only for that, but the same thing. You can live right, you can talk right, you can walk right because of what the Bible says and the surety of the sacrifice that was given for you. I'm just here to remind you. Don't shoot the messenger. remind you and me, whatever God has promised, he will bring it to pass. I'm through. If we remember, we will live differently. I don't want nobody to say, I didn't know you was a Christian. I don't want nobody to say that. But of course, I may make a mistake, but that's not what I want. I can see you've been saved for real because of Christ.